You are listening to the right channel. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
From New York, this is Democracy Now.
Nous avons vu avec l'arrivée.
With the arrival of the military in Burkina Faso and Mali, we've seen a real reduction in insecurity. We think that even here in Niger, Niger doesn't really need French or even foreign forces in this country. What we want are logistical resources to help the defense and security forces assume their responsibilities.
West African leaders from ECOWAS are holding an emergency summit today to determine their next steps after a deadline passed Sunday to restore Niger's ousted president. ECOWAS is backed by the United States and former colonizer France. ECOWAS had threatened to use military force if its deadline was not met. We'll get an update. Then we speak to Ukrainian pacifist Yuri Shalashenko. He's been charged by the Ukrainian government with justifying Russian aggression days after his apartment was raided and searched.
It is total nonsense that a pacifist is accused in justification of war for anti-war statement. This peace agenda for Ukraine and the world, it denounces Russian aggression.
Then 10 peace activists are arrested on the runway of a U.S. air base in the Netherlands, where 15 U.S. nuclear bombs are stockpiled for NATO's so-called nuclear sharing program. The action came on the 78th anniversary of the U.S. atomic bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We'll speak with John LaForge, co-director of NukeWatch, who just served a 50-day sentence in Germany for protesting U.S. nuclear weapons stationed at an air base there.
We take the Pentagon's threatened use of nuclear weapons, known as deterrence, very, very seriously, because under law, this ongoing, credible, and well-rehearsed readiness to attack people with hydrogen bombs is an international criminal conspiracy to commit massacres using radiation and firestorms.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. At least 36 people have died on the Hawaiian island of Maui as unprecedented wind-driven wildfires forced thousands of people to flee their homes. Hospitals have been overwhelmed with burned patients. Some people had to run into the ocean to escape the flames. Much of the town of Lahaina has burned to the ground. Lahaina was once the capital of the Hawaiian kingdom. Residents described horrific scenes of destruction.
I'm a resident of Lahaina for about 18 years, and we just had the worst disaster I've ever seen. All Lahaina is burnt to a crisp, and it's like an apocalypse.
The fires began on Tuesday and rapidly spread as wind from Hurricane Dora, hundreds of miles away, and dry conditions fueled the blaze. This is Hawaii's Lieutenant Governor Sylvia Luke.
You know, the point is a lot of residents in the state of Hawaii, when we are preparing for the hurricane, we expect rain. Sometimes we expect floods. We never anticipated in this state that a hurricane, which did not make impact on our islands, will cause this type of wildfires. Wildfires that wiped out communities, wildfires that wiped out businesses, wildfires that destroyed homes.
Ecuador has declared a state of emergency following the assassination of the presidential candidate Fernando Villavicencio. The former journalist was fatally shot after a campaign event in Quito 10 days before the August 20th election. He'd faced death threats recently for speaking out about the links between the government and organized crime. This is Fernando Villavicencio speaking in late July.
The country knew through the media of a police report in which it's revealed a very serious threat of one of the Sinaloa cartel's boss. I'm referring to alias Tito against me and my campaign team. There was this warning that if I keep referring to him and his structure, they would attack me or my life.
Los narcotraficantes y las mafias quieren tomarse el poder.
Drug traffickers and the mafia want to take the political power of the state, and without a doubt, it's not Tito who's behind this threat. It's the political mafias that are behind Tito who is behind this threat against my candidacy.
Fernando Villavicencio was 59 years old. The BBC reports a criminal group called Los Lobos, meaning the wolves, has claimed responsibility for his murder. One suspect was shot dead after the assassination. President Biden's reportedly planning to seek an additional $25 billion from Congress to be spent partly on the war in Ukraine, as well as to speed up weapons delivery to Taiwan. This comes as the war in Ukraine continues to intensify. On Thursday, a massive blast at a factory outside Moscow injured 56 people. Meanwhile, Poland has announced plans to send an additional 10,000 troops to its border with Belarus. Niger's new military leaders are accusing France of trying to destabilize the country by releasing captured terrorists and breaching its airspace. France has denied the claims. This comes as ECOWAS, the Economic Community of West African States, is holding an emergency summit today in Nigeria. ECOWAS has threatened to use military force to remove Niger's military leaders who seized power in a coup 2 weeks ago. After headlines, we'll speak with Syracuse University professor Horace Campbell. In Pakistan, the imprisoned former Prime Minister Imran Khan has filed an appeal days after he was sentenced to 3 years in prison on corruption charges. Earlier this week, Pakistan's election commission barred Khan from politics for 5 years. Pakistan's parliament removed Khan from office in April 2022. On Wednesday, The Intercept revealed the existence of a classified Pakistani cable that outlined how the U.S. State Department had encouraged the Pakistani government to remove Khan from office in March of 2022, just weeks after Russia had invaded Ukraine. The document stated the U.S. objected to Khan's neutral stance on the war. According to the memo, one State Department official warned Pakistan's ambassador to the United States that, quote, all will be forgiven in Washington if Khan is removed. The U.S. official, Assistant Secretary of State Donald Liu, then went on to say, quote, otherwise, I think it will be tough going ahead, he said. The death toll from a migrant shipwreck off Tunisia's coast has risen to at least 41, including 3 children. The ship capsized and sank just a few hours after departing from Europe. Dozens are still missing from another shipwreck near the Tunisian port city of Sfax. The number of asylum seekers fleeing from Tunisia has dramatically increased in recent months due to the persecution of black Africans by Tunisian authorities and President Kais Saied. On Wednesday, at least 27 people were found dead in the desert after they were expelled from Tunisia. This is a pregnant asylum seeker who was expelled from Tunisia.
I was in Tunisia. My husband is a day laborer. We wanted to go to Italy, and there was beating and insults. After that, 2 days ago, they took us to the borders. The following day, after we reached the borders, they took us, beat the men, and left us. We walked on the road towards Libya, but we don't know the direction. We walked for 3-4 hours. Then the Libyan police found us.
Venezuela's won a major legal battle to recover about $1.5 billion that had been confiscated by the Portuguese bank Novo Banco, which is largely owned by the U.S. private equity firm Lone Star. For years, the Venezuelan government has decried international sanctions that has led to foreign banks freezing its overseas assets. In 2021, The Intercept reported Venezuela was blocked from using some of the money held by the bank to buy millions of vaccines for children. President Biden signed an executive order to ban U.S. firms from investing in Chinese high-tech companies developing semiconductors and quantum computers. The Chinese government criticized the move, accusing the U.S. of politicizing and weaponizing trade and technological issues. Newly unsealed court documents show special counsel Jack Smith obtained a search warrant to access Donald Trump's Twitter account as part of the investigation into Trump's attempts to overturn the 2020 election. Twitter, now known as X, was fined $350,000 after initially refusing to hand over Trump's personal data. Meanwhile, CNN is reporting Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis in Georgia is expected to seek more than a dozen indictments next week in her probe on Trump's efforts to overturn the election in Georgia. Security around Willis has increased after Trump attacked her on the campaign trail, calling her a racist while spreading rumors about her. Bonnie Willis is the first black woman to serve as Fulton County District Attorney. The FBI shot and killed a Utah man who threatened the life of President Biden. The shooting came on Wednesday morning as the FBI attempted to serve the man, Craig Robertson, an arrest and search warrant. Robertson had posted numerous online threats targeting Biden and other officials. He recently wrote he was cleaning the dust off his M24 sniper rifle after learning Biden would be in Utah today. He was killed in Utah. CNN is reporting the former head of the U.S. Coast Guard covered up the results of an explosive investigation into decades of rape and sexual assault at the Coast Guard's prestigious academy. 4 years ago, Commandant Carl Schultz and his Deputy Admiral Charles Ray suppressed the report as investigators were set to brief lawmakers and the Homeland Security Department on its findings. The current head of the Coast Guard, Linda Fagan, has acknowledged she'd become aware of the report and its cover-up, but has vowed to tackle sexual assault at the agency. Fagan, who's the Coast Guard's first female leader, has also apologized to survivors. ProPublica has revealed new details about how conservative billionaires have showered Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas with free trips and gifts for decades. ProPublica's new report documents 38 destination vacations, 26 private jet flights, 12 VIP passes to sporting events, and 8 helicopter flights, all paid for by billionaire patrons. Thomas has been under increasing scrutiny since April when ProPublica revealed he failed to report frequent luxury trips paid for by the billionaire Harlan Crow. And the Israeli human rights organization B'Tselem is reporting 86 members of a Palestinian Bedouin community have been forced to abandon their homes due to violent threats from Israeli settlers. This is Mohammed Hassan Abu Akbash of the Bedouin community Akabun.
We've lived here for 20, 25 years. We're farmers, shepherds. And we've lived here normally with our flock. But a settler came to the area and started making trouble for us. They tell us, don't graze here. You're not allowed to graze there. These are my lands. A few days ago, they spilled my neighbor's sheep's drinking water on the ground. 2 days ago, an armed settler came, walked around our home, came inside, and just sat there. He says the land is his. He says, I'm the government. I'm the state. I'm the police and the military. It's come to the point where we're leaving. It's a done deal.
According to B'Tselem, the Bedouin community Al-Kabun is the fourth Palestinian community forced to abandon its land in the last 3 months due to threats from Israeli settlers. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In Niger, leaders of last month's military coup have appointed a 21-member cabinet as they forge ahead with building a new government. This comes as West African leaders from ECOWAS are holding an emergency summit today in the Nigerian capital Abuja to determine their next steps after a deadline to restore ousted President Mohamed Bazoum passed Sunday. ECOWAS, backed by the U.S. and the former colonizer France, had threatened to use military force if their deadline was not met, but there's been deep division within the region over how to respond. The Senate in Nigeria has said military force should only be used as a last resort if diplomacy fails. Neighbors Mali and Burkina Faso, all ruled by coup leaders who've ejected French forces from their country, have said any military action would be taken as an attack on their countries as well. Many Nigerians have been taking to the streets since July 26 coup to show their support of the military and voice opposition to any foreign intervention. On Wednesday, the coup leadership accused France of violating its airspace. This is Niger Army spokesperson Colonel Major Amadou Adraman.
These security disruptions planned by these French forces was the case in Mali and Burkina Faso, aimed to discredit the CNSP and create a rupture with the people who supported its actions, or to create the feeling of a generalized insecurity in any case.
Meanwhile, sanctions and power cuts imposed on Niger have hampered delivery of humanitarian aid to over 4 million people in need of assistance, according to the UN. African officers trained by the U.S. military have now taken part in 11 coups in West Africa since 2008, including in Burkina Faso and Mali. For more, we turn to Horace Campbell, professor of African American Studies and Political Science at Syracuse University, activist and chairperson of the Global Pan-African Movement North American Delegation. He's also the author of Global NATO and the Catastrophic Failure in Libya. Professor Campbell, we welcome you back to Democracy Now! Can you talk about what's happening as we speak, the meeting in Nigeria, the most populous country in Africa, of the ECOWAS leaders, West African leaders, who set a deadline of this past Sunday saying if the president, Bazoum, was not returned, they would militarily intervene? Well, clearly they haven't. What's your response? Of course, Burkina Faso, Mali, Guinea, threatening that they better not attack.
Well, good morning, Amy, and thank you for having me. We oppose all military intervention. We should make that very clear. We oppose the military intervention in Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger, and Guinea. But one cannot oppose the military intervention without opposing France and the United States and their militarization of the region. This recent destruction of civilian power and civilian leadership in Niger is one of the nine sequences that has developed since the war on terror in that region. The fabrication of terror, the intervention of the United States and France in the region, and the consequences of the destruction of Libya and the financing of groups, military groups in the region by France. Now, this military intervention in Niger is a consequence of the militarization of Nigerian society when the society needs social and economic reconstruction. The United States has pumped more than $1 billion into this region, into military facilities and military programs, and supporting military elements in this region. In Niger alone, the United States has spent $500 million building a military base and military and drone facilities in Agadez to support French exploitation of the mineral human resources of Niger. So we cannot discuss what's going on in Niger without discussing the call by the African people for the expulsion of France from West Africa. The foreign minister of Mali has called on the United Nations to investigate France in the region. The former prime minister of Italy has called for sanctions against France. And it is the right-wing conservative forces in the United States that is supporting France, to the point where now we see the conservative wing of the Biden administration, led by Victoria Nuland and Antony Blinken, leading the discussions on Africa. Why is it that Victoria Nuland was in Niger on Monday and Victoria Nuland is in South Africa? The Biden administration has African expert. They named Johnny Carson as their expert on Africa at the last U.S.-Africa summit. But is Victoria Nuland the hawk that wants to militarize the planet Earth, who is a rabid militarist, who is now flying between Nigeria, Niger, and South Africa, carrying out U.S. policies? The task is for the left and progressive forces in this country to call for the removal of the United States Africa Command from Africa, the closing of the U.S. military facilities in Niger, and to support the people of Niger in removing France from Niger, just as the people of Burkina Faso and Mali has done. And we should support the call for federation between Mali, Niger, and Burkina Faso.
Give us the history of Niger and French colonialism there. We'll also talk about the United States.
Well, Niger is one of those states that has suffered from French military intervention and destruction in the region. The French are inordinately dependent on the exploitation and plunder of Africa. The French has military personnel in Niger. When their military personnel were thrown out of Mali and Burkina Faso, they were redeployed to Niger, and they were stoned on the way to their bases in Niger. The France has exploited the mineral and natural resources of Niger. The French uranium mines in Niger not only exploited the uranium resources of Niger, but France has also closed mines and left radioactive material that is deleterious to the health and safety of the Nigerian people. Now, everyone in West Africa is calling for the ending of the CFA franc and the domination of the economies of West Africa by France. They're calling for the removal of the 240,000 French personnel in West Africa. In the case of Niger, France is opposed to any plans for the reconstruction of the country. Let's take the major plan in this region for the reconstruction of the country. That is the replenishing of Lake Chad. You started this news broadcast this morning by talking about a fire in Hawaii. Those kinds of fires are going on all across West Africa because of global warming. Global warming has accelerated the depletion of Lake Chad. Lake Chad has lost 95% of its water resources. There's a plan by the Lake Chad Basin Authority to replenish Lake Chad. Who is against this? France. Who is against investment in reconstruction in West Africa? France. Who has been supporting, who allegedly has been supporting terror groups in West Africa? When the United States called for investigation into Boko Haram, it was revealed in the Nigerian newspapers that the French has been supporting Boko Haram in Nigeria. So the French create terrorist groups and then goes into African countries to say they are fighting terrorism in Africa. This kind of duplicity by France and fomenting terror and destruction has been challenged by the peoples of West Africa. In every country in West Africa, they're calling for the ending of French economic, financial, and military domination. So we in this country must call on our representatives and our political forces who are progressive. For example, Ocasio-Cortez, who is a progressive member of Congress. When she was a student, she went into Niger. Why are they not raising their voices against the militarism and militarization of West Africa by the United States military and to call for investment in health, reconstruction, water supply, and the safety of the people of Niger, Burkina Faso, and Mali? The United States, France, is gung-ho about reversing a military coup in Niger. What about the military coup in Sudan that has been supported by the United States, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates? What about the destruction of the military in Sudan against the peoples of Sudan calling for the restoration of democratic relations? We cannot be selective in our opposition to militarism. We must oppose militarism of all sorts in Africa. But the priority at this moment is for the removal of France and to call on the United Nations to have sanctions against France for its destruction and militarism in Africa.
And then talk about the U.S. role, the U.S. Drone base in Niger, and talk about the significance of uranium in the world that's in Niger.
Well, let's start with the United States of America. The United States of America has been involved in what they call a war on terror, which is, as they, in the words of Jeremy Keenan, a fabrication in West Africa. The people who are called terrorists, in many cases, are people who were supported by France. In the case of the destruction of Libya, the United States and France removed Gaddafi, and now the United States and France are fighting on both sides of the war in Libya. After the destruction of Libya, the Tuareg left Libya and went into Mali, Niger, and Burkina Faso. The French supported groups that are supposed to be terror groups, and then the United States started what they call the Trans-Sahara Counter-Terror Initiative and spent $500 million on that counter-terror initiative. The United States then went into Niger to build a military base and a drone base in Agadez. Now, all of this is very murky, because even the Pentagon cannot account for what is happening. The congressional representatives say they do not know what's going on in Niger. When four United States Marines were killed at Tongo Tongo in Niger, and if you look at the map to see where Tongo Tongo is, right at the border between Mali, Niger, and Burkina Faso, when these four Marines were killed in 2017, up to now, the Pentagon cannot say what happened to these four Marines. The ABC documentary, 321T1 Unredacted, talks about the murkiness of the intelligence and the opaque operations of the Pentagon in Niger. The United States needs to remove its military forces from Africa and to support the peace, social justice forces in Africa who are fighting for reconstruction in that part of the world. So the United States itself is a force for destruction against the peoples of Africa at the moment.
I want to ask you about the leaders of Burkina Faso, Mali, Guinea, all warning against the foreign intervention in Niger to reverse the coup. Now, Burkina Faso's interim leader, Ibrahim Traoré, who took power in a coup in September, recently spoke in Moscow during the Russia-African summit. He criticized what he called imperialist neocolonialism.
The questions my generation is asking are the following, if I can summarize. It is that we do not understand how Africa, with so much wealth on our soil, with generous nature, water, sunshine in abundance, how Africa is today the poorest continent. Africa is a hungry continent. And how come there are heads of state all over the world begging? These are the questions we are asking ourselves, and we have no answers so far. We have the opportunity to forge new relationships, and I hope that these relationships can be the best ones to give our people a better future. My generation also asks me to say that because of this poverty, they are forced to cross the ocean to try to reach Europe. They die in the ocean, but soon they will no longer have to cross because they will come to our palaces to seek their daily bread. As far as what concerns Burkina Faso today, for more than 8 years, we've been confronted with the most barbaric and the most violent form of imperialist neocolonialism. Slavery continues to impose itself on us. Our predecessors taught us one thing. A slave who cannot assume his own revolt does not deserve to be pitied. We do not feel sorry for ourselves. We do not ask anyone to feel sorry for us. The people of Burkina Faso have decided to fight against terrorism in order to relaunch their development.
So that is Burkina Faso's interim leader, Ibrahim Traoré, who took power in a coup in September wearing that red beret that's reminiscent of Thomas Sankara, the leader who was assassinated in 1987. Talk about that history, Professor Campbell.
The political consciousness of the peoples of Africa at the moment, this consciousness has been heightened by the conjuncture of the global capitalist crisis, the investments for billionaires, the climate crisis, COVID-19, and the general immiseration of the African peoples. Thomas Sankara was a military leader in Burkina Faso, and that's why, though we condemn military coup d'etat, we do not have a knee-jerk reaction against all military leaders, because within the ranks of the military in Burkina Faso are the heirs of Thomas Sankara. Thomas Sankara was a leader who organized the people of Burkina Faso to bring safety, security, sanitation,